Our text this morning is taken from James. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Our message this morning is entitled, Can Faith Alone Save You? I believe the Lord is bringing this message today that we may consider the faith that we have got. But I'm also wary that Satan may use this text to discourage those who do have faith, to discourage those who are battling against sin, to discourage those who want to be pleasing to the Lord. Can faith alone save you? There are three things to consider this morning. First, what is this passage speaking about, of faith and being saved, saving? Second, the question, can faith alone save you? Third, if so, have we got it? So we're considering faith. How would we describe, define faith? This Christian faith. It is so simple and, as a result, easily missed. Faith, then, is trusting, all relying on Jesus Christ for your salvation. Cannot be simpler. Relying on Jesus Christ for your salvation. Relying on him to be saved. And that leads us to our next question. To be saved. Saved from what exactly? Saved from yourselves, your natural inclinations. Saved from the consequences from being alienated from God. But ultimately, saved from the coming wrath and judgment upon this fallen world. Saved from God's judgment. So then, the claims of the Holy Bible is that relying on Jesus Christ, his perfect life when he came to earth as man, his great sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, suffering and dying for sins not his own, for all those that will come to trust in him. Relying on Jesus Christ will save you from the judgment to come. Now, can this faith alone save you? This passage seems to suggest not. There are two questions in this verse, and both leads you to one conclusion. No. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and not works? The implication of the text is that it doesn't really profit you at all to say you only have faith. The second question, can faith save you or save him, also leads us to a no. And I happen upon this text because it seems to be such a great contradiction to what the rest of the Bible teaches, that clearly faith alone will save. How can we explain that? If we go to the Old Testament, we find the same message. Those who trust in the Lord will be saved. You may remember our first Bible reading from Psalm 112 and verse 7, where it says, He shall not be afraid of the evil tidings. That could be evil calamities, problems, but ultimately the judgment of God. He will not be afraid of that. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. This person doesn't change. His trust is in only one place, in one person, the Lord. That's the Old Testament. That was written 1,000 years before Jesus Christ came. And if we consider Jesus Christ's ministry, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. All that he taught, all his miracles, were signs pointers to what Jesus Christ himself could do for us spiritually in saving our souls, not just for time, but eternity. If we consider some of the miracles then, we remember Jesus Christ healing the lepers. And he said, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Thy faith hath made thee whole. In our second Bible reading, we read about blind Bartimaeus, who was crying out to the Lord, making something of a nuisance to himself. The people tried to stop him, but the Lord Jesus called him to himself. And in Jesus Christ healing blind Bartimaeus, he says, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole," and immediately received his sight. What about Jesus Christ healing the woman that was sick for 12 years? "Take courage, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was cured from that very hour. Our final example. When Jesus told the woman who was a sinner, "Your faith has saved you, go in peace." So it's quite clear from the Old Testament, faith alone will save you. It's clear from the ministry of Jesus Christ, faith alone will save you. And if we continue in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul's teaching that to be right with God, to have a place in heaven, his ministry was one of faith alone, teaching the Jews you cannot rely on works. Those rituals of old, the ceremonies of old, are not meant to be added to your faith in order to save you. He contended faith alone would save you. And he uses Abraham, the great patriarch, as an example of this in Romans 4. Interestingly, later on, James also used Abraham as an example of what he is arguing. But they seem to be arguing opposites. Actually, Paul and James are arguing the same point, but from two extremes. As I said, the Apostle Paul was arguing, do not rely on anything else. Yes, the Lord has given his law, his ceremonial law. There's things to do pointing to the coming of our Lord Jesus. But that would not save you. They were just signs and pointers. It's only faith in Jesus Christ alone that will save you. Don't add works to your faith, to think works are needed, rituals are needed to be saved. James here, however, is arguing against a faulty view of faith. And he's arguing that if you think that you are saved, you have faith, and this faith excludes you from good works, there might be something wrong with your faith, because those who have faith, who are saved, as a consequence do good works. So if you're saying, I'm faith, I have faith, and there's no need for me to do good works, maybe you should check that faith. So we see in the first appearance, this passage in James 2:14 seemingly contradicting the rest of the Bible. Actually, it's not really speaking about faith at all. What James has been arguing in the passage before James 2:14 is the need for believers, those who have faith, to show mercy, to show compassion on their neighbors, to be willing to forgive, to show a tender care, something that reflects the mercy of our Lord Jesus, on whom we rely to be saved. So as he's arguing, true Christians, those with faith, would be merciful. He anticipates the cynic who says, no, I have faith, and that's that. I do not need to be merciful. What James is actually saying is you need to check your claim to faith. So James condescends to that cynic who says, no, faith is enough. Don't expect me to do the good works the Lord has set for me. He's saying, okay, you call it faith. Let's call it faith. James is not actually speaking about faith, but the person's claim to faith. And he asks the question. I think verse 14 may be possibly better rendered or understood by its inserting a word, that. So, the sense may be brought forth better if we say, can that faith save him? Or maybe, can his faith save him? Can his claim to faith save him? That person is claiming to have faith. There's no evidence that the person has faith. Can that faith save him? Let's quickly look at the verses that follow, just to prove that point. So verse 14 itself. Can faith save him? Checking that faith. It reminds me of when I was traveling once with someone. We were going to get a taxi from one town to another. I, naively, was just willing to pay, sit in the car that was available. The person I was with started to question the taxi driver. Can this car really take us to that town? I wasn't sure why he asked that question. He kicked the tire of the car. I didn't think that was much of an inspection. And he was questioning the driver, can this car really take us to that town? Anyway, we paid, we sat in the car, we were on the motorway, and the tire blew. It didn't get us there. Maybe the driver didn't mind so much because we had already paid, he had his money. And maybe such a faith can be seen as something similar. What is the point of faith? Ultimately, to save us from the judgment to come. But we may have such a faith that helps us to live quite a moral life, but it doesn't help us get to the destination. There was another incident when I was with two people. One was talking about property and land problems. And the person that was complaining said he's going to engage a lawyer. And he said which lawyer he was going to engage. The other person said, can he work? So I thought about that. Can he work? But clearly what he meant, is that person really able to represent you? Can he really do a good job for you? I'm not sure what dealings the person who said had with that lawyer. But he questioned the man's reliance on this lawyer to represent him. And maybe we can say something similar about faith. What is our faith in? Can it really save? Or if we think of a child who draws a plane or a model and tells the parent that this plane will be able to fly the family on holiday, and the parent says, "Really? Can that plane take us to a different country?" Yes, planes can, but not that plane that was just made. These are my feeble examples, but I do like John Calvin, the French theologian who was born in the beginning of the 16th century. He puts it another way. While it is certain that faith unites God and man, this claim to faith spoken of here no more brings God and man together as looking into the sun lifts man to the sky. It's important that we check our claim to faith. If we continue, verses 15 to 16, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," notwithstanding he give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So what we have here is an illustration. There's someone who's starving, no clothes, he's seeking your help. And you know this person's not putting it on, not just trying to make a profit, but really needs your help. And what if you were to put a hand on this person's shoulder and said, "Be warm," and then walk off? "Be filled," and walk off. And you give nothing to help them be clothed or to eat. What help is it to that person? What James is saying here, this claim to faith does not only not honor God, it's no help to those around them. In fact, I think we can all say that would be a mockery of this person in great need. James is saying, in the same way that this will be a mockery to the person in need, it'd be a mockery to God to claim to have such a faith. But it doesn't lead anywhere. Verse 17, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. This is the conclusion of the illustration just given. If one was to behave like that, we would rightly say, this faith is dead. James is saying this is not faith at all. Your claim to faith is not faith at all, because we would expect to see some fruit. We would expect to see a change. We would expect to see compassion for our neighbors. But this claim of faith with nothing else is dead. It's not faith at all. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Faith should save us from our sin, not keep us in our sin. If we have faith, it should be clear. If we have faith, there should be a difference. Or do we find ourselves thinking, having the same motivation, the same outlook on this earth as others who do not believe, as others that have no claim to this faith? Are we just the same? This passage here is saying, no, if you have faith, it produces fruit. If we are branches and Jesus Christ is the vine, we should not be dead. fruitless. It comes as a consequence. A godly life, a righteous life, one that is compassionate, it comes as a consequence. It doesn't add to our salvation. Possibly there are misunderstandings about faith. As I say, it's so simple but easily missed. One might say, I was born a Christian. I was born into a Christian home. That doesn't mean that you have saving faith. Or even further, I was christened. I've even been baptized. I'm a member of a good church. Let's go further. I teach Sunday school. This doesn't mean that you have faith. I'm a church officer. Interestingly, I've known a couple of church officers who believed they had faith, and upon listening to sermons, found out that they didn't really have faith after leading others. You see some churches, the way they behave, what they teach, things totally contrary to the Bible. One must question whether those who teach such things have faith, whether what they believe is regulated by the Holy Scriptures, God's word. None of these things makes us right with God. They will not restore a friendly relationship between us and God. But faith will. True faith will. So the final point, we've tried to stress that faith alone in Jesus Christ will save. The next question, have we got it? We're encouraged by this faith. As it is written, he that believeth on him shall not be condemned. Actually, it's not written, that's not what is written at all. As we've seen from examples for the ministry of Jesus Christ, those who came for healing were healed straight away. It wasn't some long time after. It's not a matter of being in church for a long time and at some point you'll be saved. Rather, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. At the point you have this faith, at the point you are relying on Jesus Christ and his merits, you will not be condemned. That's a great encouragement. Jesus Christ came willingly to earth to save sinners. He knew the cost before he came. He agreed with God the Father in heaven, even before the earth was created, that he would come, and he did come. He tried to explain to the disciples over and over again what the end of his earthly ministry would be. Suffering and death, they could not take it in. But it didn't take away from the prophets who proclaimed that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the God-man, would come, suffer and die on the cross of Calvary. And if it ended there, what hope would we have? But it did not end there. He rose again. We of the Holy Scriptures are the only ones who have a living Savior, one who conquered death, one who has proved that he's conquered sin, the one thing that separates us from God. Jesus Christ, surely we can put our trust in him, the glorious Savior, who rose again and is in heaven. How may we have it, this faith? It's so simple. Children know it and can be saved. We must see our need. The Holy Bible says we're all born sinners. We're all born with this need. None without exception. Have you ever seen your need? Or is your confidence in parents, good family, good church? Our confidence should only be in one person, Jesus Christ. Spurgeon said something which I thought was very interesting. He said that the closer we get to heaven, the more we will be involved in doing the work of heaven. Can that be said of your life? Do you know what we will be doing in heaven? Glorifying Jesus Christ, worshiping him. It's not a matter of taking out an hour on Sunday morning, but taking every opportunity to worship, to praise, to lift the name of Jesus Christ. And if we follow James in this passage, he's just been arguing that if we have this faith, if we're true Christians, we would have compassion. In heaven, there'll be great love amongst God's people, great love amongst the redeemed that have been saved from this fallen world. What is the state of your love now to your neighbors, to those in your church? Can it be said that you're showing great compassion, that you have care, that you're dealing with others in your church tenderly? And what about those outside the church, those who have no faith? Can we be seen to be treating them with tender care? We see our Lord Jesus, how he was during his earthly ministry. What care he took of those that were lost. What care he took of his disciples. Can that be said of our lives? So to answer the question first posed, can faith alone save you? Yes. Christian faith, relying on Jesus Christ, can save you. But Holy Scriptures makes it clear. If you are saved, if you are a true Christian, that should make a difference to how you think, what you do, what you plan to do. So my plea this morning to each one of us, to each one of you here, check the faith you have. This is the time to be sure that you will not be condemned. Faith is so simple, but we must humble ourselves with our great needs and come to the Lord Jesus, who alone can save you. Let's pray. Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the repeated message we find in Holy Scripture of our need of Jesus Christ. We cannot come to thee. God, our Heavenly Father, directly, but must rely on the way of salvation thou hast provided in Jesus Christ. Draw us to thyself, we pray, and help us, even with all that would distract, all that will blow us to and fro, to be steadfast and wholly reliant on Jesus Christ. Oh, we ask these things in the name and to the glory of the one true living Savior. Amen.
Amen.